I would like for you to open your Bible with me today to the book of Mark. I'll be reading from chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel, verse 14 and 15. Now, here's the title of this message. I'm going to be speaking on the subject, "The Gospel is a Command." Now, I'm going to sound a note that I believe needs to be sounded, especially in this day, loud and clear. What I'm saying is this. Now, see that you understand from the beginning what I'm preaching. I'm saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's saving mercy in Jesus Christ, is more than a mere invitation. It's more than a mere offer. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a command. It's a command. Now, you listen to Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. It says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel." Jesus Christ, our Lord, came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, I know we hear a lot today about the gospel invitation. And preachers today, especially on television, put much stress on inviting men to believe on Jesus Christ and inviting men to accept Jesus Christ and inviting men to let God have a part in their lives. Now, without being contentious, I don't mean to be contentious, and I don't mean to be offensive, but I wish to declare unto you as clearly as I can declare it that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just an invitation, it is a command. Actually, my friend, the word invite and the word invitation does not even occur in the Word of God anywhere, not one single time. Not one single time do you find in the Word of God, connected with the gospel or anything else, coming from the mouth of God. You never find one time the word invite or the word invitation. Now listen to me, listen clearly. You and I may invite people to hear us preach. That's perfectly legitimate. I invite people to come and hear the gospel. Moses said to his father-in-law, "Come with us. Come with us. We're the people of God. Come with us and we'll do you good." That was Moses inviting a man. And I may invite people to hear me preach. I may invite people to listen to this television program. And then, as Paul said, you and I may persuade men to look to Christ and be saved. He said, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men." And then you and I may beseech men to be reconciled to God. That's what Paul said. "I beseech you, be ye reconciled to God." I may invite men to come hear me preach. I may invite men to give attention to the gospel. I may persuade men to seek the Lord. I may beseech men to be reconciled to God. But now listen to me, and let me sound this note clearly. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords does not invite rebels to obey Him. He commands them to obey. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords does not invite His subjects to believe His word. He does not invite His subjects to believe His book. He commands them to believe. It comes as a command. Even an invitation from a sovereign is a command. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords does not invite men to honor Him or to bow to Him. He commands them to bow. He said, "God hath given Christ a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Every knee shall bow in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. Not ought to bow, not should bow, but they shall bow. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether in heaven, earth, or under the earth. Does that sound like an offer? Does that sound like an invitation? My friend, that's a serious command. Now, to believe God is to reap great benefits and blessings from His bountiful hand. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are the benefits and those are the blessings. Everlasting life, justification, regeneration, sanctification, wisdom, all these things are to be had in Christ. They're to be found in Christ. And to receive Christ and to believe Christ and to come to Christ is to receive all those benefits. But not to believe Christ, to refuse to believe Christ, is to incur great sin. He said, "He that believeth not hath made God a liar." He that believeth not hath made God a liar. Now that's serious. That doesn't sound like an offer or invitation. God said, "Believe my word." You say, "I won't believe your word because you're a liar." That's what He's saying. And then to refuse to believe on Christ is to be forever damned. In Mark 16:16, it says clearly, "He that believeth not shall be damned." My friends, I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, as a command. I know it is an invitation. I know there is, in a sense, an offer involved. But this is an invitation from a sovereign, from a king. This is an offer that cannot and must not be refused. He commands men to repent and believe the gospel. Now let me ask you some things. Is it optional to you to believe God? Is that optional? I shall believe God or I shall not believe God. Is it optional to men to believe God's word? Is it optional to men to believe God's Son? No, sir. It's a command. Not to believe God is to make Him a liar. You parents, how many of you parents out there invite your children to believe your word? How many of you parents out there invite your children to obey you? Now, son, I invite you to bring in the stove wood. Son, I invite you to cut the yard. No, sir, there's a command extended. Son, cut the yard. And not to cut the yard is to bring upon you the wrath of your father. It's a command. It's a command to believe your parents. It's a command to obey your parents. It's a command to receive the word of your parents. And it's a command from God to believe His word. I don't believe the police in the tri-state area invite men and women to obey the law. And neither does the living God invite and beg and plead with men to believe Him. He commands them to believe Him or be damned. That's exactly what the Scripture declares. The gospel is a command. And I preach the gospel to every creature, expecting them to believe it, expecting them to obey it, expecting them to receive it. For God says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Now, secondly, it's not optional to men to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ and worship Him whom the Father has sent. It's a command. When Peter was preaching on Pentecost, he said this in Acts 2:36. He said, "God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Christ. And they were troubled, they were pricked in their hearts. They cried, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Well, Peter said, now, if you're obliged to do so, or if you find your will turned in this direction, why don't you repent? And why don't you be baptized in the name? That's not what he said. They said, "What shall we do? We've crucified the Lord of glory. Our hands are dripping with the blood of the Son of God. What are we going to do? God is angry. The wrath of God is turned against us. What are we going to do?" And Peter commanded them, listen, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every blessed one of you." Not those who are disposed to do so. Not those who feel so led. He said, "Repent, every one of you. Confess Christ, every one of you." No simple plea. No simple invitation. There was a command extended there. And I'm saying this to you. All men are going to bow to Christ. He said, every knee is going to bow, all men, here or hereafter. God has commanded it. Bow, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Bow to the crown rights of Jesus Christ. Submit to the scepter of Shiloh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will not have this man reign over us. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. God's designed it. God's decreed it. And by his death, he bought it. He's Lord of the dead and the living. I heard a man say just this afternoon that he invited God to have a part in his life. Well, my friend, in God you live and move and have your being. You couldn't breathe without God. You couldn't raise your arm without God. You couldn't take a step without God. Almighty God, whether you know it or not, has all power and all authority over you and has put you in the hands of his Son with whom you have to do. Not a question of inviting him to have a part in your life. Our Lord said to Pilate, Pilate said, why, do you refuse to answer me? Don't you know I have power to crucify you, let you go? And our Lord said, you don't have any power over me at all, except it be given you from above. My friend, it's not optional to men to repent and believe the gospel of the righteousness and sacrifice of Christ. Look at Acts 17:30. What does it say? God invites all men to repent. It does not say that. It says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. When Christ Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the three apostles, what did the voice of God say? This is my beloved Son. You sure ought to hear him. I'd be much obliged if you'd let him speak to you. I invite you. He said, this is my beloved Son. Three words. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. That's a command. If you believe not that I am he, Christ said, you'll die in your sins. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen to me. Abel was not invited to offer a blood sacrifice. He was commanded to offer a blood sacrifice. Noah was not invited to build an ark. God commanded him. He said, Noah, make an ark. That's a command. Israel was not invited to put blood on the door. They were commanded upon penalty of death to put blood on the door. And you're commanded to repent upon penalty of death. You're commanded to believe the Word of God. You're commanded to bow to Jesus Christ. You're commanded to receive Him upon penalty of eternal damnation. Moses wasn't invited to build a tabernacle. God told him to build one. He was commanded. Aaron was not invited to bring an atonement into the Holy of Holies and put it on the mercy seat. He was commanded to do that. And I'm telling you this, and I'm saying this to myself and to all who'll hear me. I know we have the pleaders and the aisle draggers and the folks that are trying their best to get folks to come down to the front and let Jesus have his way and let God do something else. Any God that you have to let do anything is no God at all. The God of the universe is a sovereign God who does as he will, when he will, with whom he will. And his commandments are for you to believe his word. And his commandments are for you to repent. And his commandment is for you to believe his Son. Now, listen to me. Listen to me, will you? Why is the gospel of Jesus Christ and all the Word of God, for that matter, a command? Why is the gospel more than just an invitation? Why is it a command? Well, now listen. First of all, this is reasonable. It is a command in keeping with the very character and honor of God. It's a command in keeping with a great king. A great sovereign ruler does not beg men to do his will. Can't you hear a general, a five-star general, begging a private, "Private, I invite you to go get my Jeep and bring it and have it in front of headquarters in 5 minutes, if you're disposed to do so, if you feel led in that direction." He'll say, "I'll give you 4 minutes to have that Jeep in front of this tent." That's just a five-star general. I'm talking about God Almighty. That's the character of God. A great king does not bargain with slaves. Would you like to row the ship? And a great judge, a just judge, does not negotiate with criminals. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you who God is. And the God that we're hearing preached this day is not worthy of worship or worthy of your faith or worthy of your confidence. He can't do anything anyway. unless men let him. God's holy, and holiness must prevail. God is just, and he will not clear the guilty. The law is unchangeable, and it shall be honored, and it shall be obeyed, either in the person of Christ as your substitute or in yourself. But God's justice will be honored. The gospel's a command. It's a command in keeping with God's character. It's a command in keeping with God's honor. Anything less than a command coming from the throne of God would do dishonor to God Almighty. A king doesn't beg servants to obey him. And a king does not negotiate with criminals. And a king does not bargain with slaves. And that's what we are. And then it's a command, secondly, to give boldness to God's ambassadors. God's ambassadors don't go out here like the hucksters and merchandisers of souls today, begging people to let God have his way. Those aren't God's ambassadors. God's ambassadors go forth in the victory of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ stood on the Mount of Olivet and gathered his disciples around him before he sent them out to preach. Peter, James, John, all the rest of them. And he said this to them. He said to them, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. And I'm telling you this, God's servants go forth in the name of him who is victorious. God's servants go forth in the name of him who is King of kings and Lord of lords. God's servants go forth in the name of the conquering Christ who finished what he came to do. And they go forth to call through the preaching of the gospel his elect and his sheep and his people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue unto heaven. And Christ said, "My sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me and I will give them eternal life." My word, my gospel is not a request, it's a command. And they'll believe me. And then I'll tell you this, the gospel is a command to encourage the humble seeker. Now listen to me. If I am commanded by Christ, if I am commanded by Christ to believe on him and to be forgiven, if I am commanded by Christ to receive his mercy, then I am at full liberty to do so. What God commands me to do, I can do. What God commands me to do, I'm expected to do. When our Lord gives a command, with that command comes permission and ability. Listen to him when he stands outside the grave of Lazarus. He said, "Roll away that stone." Lazarus was dead. He'd been dead for 4 days. Our Lord stood outside the grave of Lazarus, our Lord who is life itself, who is the giver of life, the source of life. And he shouted so that his voice could be heard all around. "Lazarus, come forth." That's no invitation. That's no helpless offer. That's no pitiful plea. That's a command from the Lord of life. And brother, let me tell you something. Old Lazarus walked out of that tomb. He couldn't, but he did. And I'll tell you something else. One day our Lord stood before a man who had a withered hand. That hand had never known any strength or power. Our Lord said to that man, "Stretch out your hand." That's a command. Stretch out your hand. And with the command came permission. With the command came the power. With the command came the ability. Our Lord stood one day beside the bed of a man who had been lame for 38 years. He hadn't walked in 38 years. And my Lord said to him, "Listen, if you are so disposed, if you're so moved, if you'd like to do it, why don't you take up your bed and walk?" That's not what he said. He said to that man, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." That's a command. And that man got up and walked away praising God. I'm saying when the Lord of glory gives a command, there's no reason for men to debate the possibility of retraction. When God commands men to repent, they have the ability to repent. When God commands men to believe, I'm certain he means for them to believe. He commands it. Now, this is terrible, but it's true. Won't you listen to me? The Lord of heaven today, in today's preaching, and I'm embarrassed by most of it, in today's preaching, the Lord of heaven is pictured in this way by the average preacher. He's a benevolent old granddaddy up there in heaven, of some sort up there somewhere, somebody up there somewhere, that's what they say, who's offering a reward to everybody who will recognize him and take him into their lives and let him bless them. Now, my friend, such is not the case. The Scripture says, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord God reigneth in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. And the Lord giveth it to whomsoever he will. He said, I have declared it, and it shall be done. My counsel shall stand. I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. None can stay my hand or say unto me, what doest thou? God's not a beggar. He's a king. He's a king. And he's not dependent upon any human being. He's independent of all his creation. Everything that exists today in matter, physically, every other way, came out of God. And he was the same before he made us as he was after he made us. He's not dependent upon us. We're dependent upon him. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. We're the ones that are hungry. We're the ones that are poverty-stricken. We're the ones that need God. I see these signs, God needs you. God doesn't need you. You need God. And my friends, God created man in holiness and righteousness and beauty. And man failed. He disobeyed God, and he plunged the whole human race into death, deceit, disease, and destruction. And Almighty God determined within himself, according to the good purpose of his own will, to redeem a people and make them like Christ. He gave them to Christ. He made Christ their surety. He purposed to save a race of people out of Adam's race. He chose not to take upon himself the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. And he promised a redeemer. All through the Old Testament, from Genesis 3:15 to Malachi, he prophesied that a redeemer would come, a Christ would come, a Messiah would come, that he would send one to redeem those people. And in the fullness of time, he sent his Son into this world in the likeness of sinful flesh as our substitute, as our representative, as our federal head, to meet his perfect holy law and obey it that we might have a righteousness before God, and to die on that cross, bearing our sins in his body on the tree. And he now commands men to believe his Son and to honor his Son and to obey his Son and to bow to his Son. And I tell you this, he told his disciples, you go preach this gospel. This is the gospel. The gospel's that is presented to a fallen race. The gospel of a finished work. Christ redeemed us by his blood on the cross. And the gospel is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. And you are commanded, not just invited, you are commanded by God to believe his word. And not to believe it is to make God a liar. And I don't know any more serious charge that can be brought against a man in judgment than he made God, who is the truth, a liar. Now, what is the obedience commanded by the gospel? What is it? First of all, four things, quickly. First, we're commanded to hear his word. He said, hear, O Israel, hear. The Lord our God is one God. Ezekiel said, O ye dry bones, hear. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. Hear the word of the Lord. Our God said, if you hear my word, your souls will live. Our master said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the first command. Hear him. Hear him. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Take heed what you hear. All right, secondly, we're commanded to repent. He said, except you repent, you'll perish. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance has to do with a change of attitude, a change of thoughts about God, and a change of thoughts about ourselves. It has to do with bowing. It has to do with acknowledging our sin. It has to do with confessing our sin. It has to do with owning our sins. It has to do with facing our inability. It has to do with a spirit and an attitude toward God. That's where repentance is. It's a heart work. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's where the work of repentance is done, in the heart. It's not just a change of habits. not just a change of habitation. It's not just a change of companions. It's a change of gods. It's under new management in the heart business. And then thirdly, we're commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, very God of very God. What He did, He knew no sin, was made sin for us. Why He did it, that God may be just and justifier. Where He is now, He's the man, Christ Jesus, on the right hand of the majesty in glory. Fourthly, we're commanded to confess Christ publicly. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, He that confesseth me before men, I'll confess him before my Father which is in heaven. That's what Peter's saying in Acts 2:38 to those people. He's calling not only for repentance, but he's calling for a public acknowledgement and public identification and a public confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Master has no secret disciples. No king has secret subjects. You're either for me or against me, Christ said. If you're not with me, you're against me. There's no possible way for you to play both sides of the fence. You can't do it. And then fifthly, we're commanded to love Him. He said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. If any man love mother, father, husband, wife, brother, sister, yea, his own life more than me, he's not worthy of me. And we're commanded to love one another. Our Master said, This is my request, that you love one another. Oh, no. Why? We don't read that way. That's not what the Word said. This is my commandment. The King does not request, he commands. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, I have two messages on this cassette tape. I have this one entitled, The Gospel is a Command. Why don't you get this tape and share it with someone? And on the other side of the same tape, the two messages on one tape, on the other side is a message that I'll be bringing entitled, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can have those. They cost $2. Send a donation of $2 and I'll mail you the tape. Until next week at this same time, may the Lord bless you, everyone.